Blog Talk Radio.
Good day. Good morning if you're listening in the morning. Good afternoon or good evening, depending on when you're listening. I hope the past week has been well for everyone. This is Brother Nagaya, Priest Nagaya. We're going to get into some more topics today. My original plan, and if we get through all this other stuff, we'll get back to the book of Samuel. I know in the book of Samuel we read last week, we ended up with King David. Well, excuse me. We ended up with David. This is prior to him actually being king. Saul was still king. And David had come across Saul often laying out with his army. And it was David and Abishai, and they found Saul. They were in camp. Saul was in camp with his army, and David was able to go down there and get his shield and his I believe it was his water container. He took his shield and his cruse of water, right? Took his spear, excuse me, not his shield, his spear, and his water container, and took him. And he convinced Saul. He said, "Hey," he went off in the distance and screamed out to Saul and woke everybody up because he had snuck down there. And he made a comment about, you know, where's Saul's spear? Where's his container of water, his cruse of water? And they thought it was gone, and David had it. He made comment to Saul about, "Hey, you know, your life was in my hands. I was right there. I could have killed you, but I spared you, as is what is the right thing to do. And where's your thought for me?" And that convinced Saul to kind of change his thinking at that moment. And so that's where we left off. Now, we were going to continue in Samuel, and just a few moments ago, a thought came to my head. I had had a conversation earlier with a brother, and brother has a great deal of insight, and it always helps. We always need, you know, it's always good to have someone to confer with and consult with. And scriptures talk about having many acquaintances, but having confidants, one, or counselors, one in a thousand. And so it's always good to have someone that you can really trust and help with insights and trying to make sure that you stay straight and narrow with the Most High. Now, I had a conversation earlier, and it got me thinking about different things, and then I happened to see a few videos, you know, definitely looking at a little social media that was sent to me, and I saw some clips from, we all know that there's going to be an election here in the United States next month, or a couple months, and next month, I'm sorry, and there was the Democratic National Convention night before last, whatever it was. I didn't watch it. But I saw some clips, and, you know, they make it out to be a big party. And they had a DJ there, and all these performers were performing, and it was a lot of what they call pomp and circumstance. It was a big circus, a big show. It was a big party. They were having a good time, you know, and it was all this, you know, celebration, and we're going to have a good old time. And the thing to think about with all of this, especially when we're trying to get right with the Most High and trying to obey with the Most High, the creator of everything, what he established and what he wants of us, and then, but having the pull of this place and having all of this media in your face and this constant pull, you see signs on, in bumper stickers on cars and flags on houses and signs in people's yards and on fences and all over the place. It's just really thrown into your face. And people say things like, you know, well, who are you going to vote for? Or, you know, you got to get out and vote and all these things. And one thing to keep in mind is that they talk about these politicians and, you know, it's the government and we got to vote and these things. But realistically, how do they help the people? They talk a lot, but it makes no sense. The Most High, when you read about how the Most High orchestrated the laws and commandments that he gave through Moses to the children of Israel. And he said, basically, he set up the people so when they went into the land of Israel, if they had obeyed him, they had all the money they needed, they had all the land they needed, they had the crops, the flocks. So they had all the abilities to feed themselves, house themselves, clothe themselves, and function. And you see, here we are in what is known as the wealthiest country in the world, and doesn't matter what city you live in, there's homelessness, there's poverty, there's people who are, nowadays they call it food insecure. Folks are starving to death. Starvation is what we have. We have all of this misery. And why is it if this place is so fantastic and it's the greatest country in the world and all of these great, supposed great things, but anxiety is higher than it's ever been? You know, their doctors are writing things for Xanax and all these medications for anti-anxiety and trying to get people to learn how to relax and calm down because of suicides and stress, and people are going in shooting folks because they're all stressed out. And if you're not stressed out, then let me go down to the dispensary and buy some weed so I can be high through all of this. And the liquor stores are booming in business. And so instead of actually addressing the root problems to help the people, it's let's throw a party, let's have an election, and then it's going to be the same thing over and over again. And why is that? Because as we've read many times before, the foundations of the earth are out of course. Now, let's start in Revelation. And again, if we get through all of this, I'm sure we will. We'll get to Samuel. We'll continue on Samuel. But right now, let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 18. Because what we find is that, you know, it's all this good pep talk stuff. Yes, we got to vote. And we don't care who you vote for, but you just got to vote and exercise your right to vote. And it all sounds really good. But realistically, if you're an adult, if you're 15 years old, you've been around through at least two presidents, maybe three. And what has changed? How much has really improved for you? If you're in your 20s, if you're in your 30s, if you're in your 40s or older, you've been through multiple presidents, multiple people in Congress, and yet you see that the poverty is getting worse, that the homelessness is getting worse, that the violence, 30 years ago, it was not a common thing to hear about people shooting each other on the road in road rage incidents. You know, there weren't as many there. Did you have a shooting here and there? Yes, you did. But it's a lot more stuff going on now because people are more frustrated. They're angrier. They have less patience with one another. The poverty level is just, and it's getting worse. And so we find that it sounds, they want to make it sound good that you get out there and you got to be a part of the system. You got to get out. But realistically, when you have to pay your light bill, how is that helping you? And that's what you have to look at. And that's where that's why the Most High talks about, you know, you have to have your faith in Him. And if you follow what His guidelines, and that's why Christ came to say we have to walk in the steps that the Most High set up. That's where success is for our people. Now, we read, if you've been listening to these classes a few weeks ago, we were reading and in Judith, where the general of the Ammonites was even telling Holofernes, he was telling him, listen, if you're trying to attack these Israelites, but if they are obeying their God, you can't do anything against them. Only if they disobey their God will we have a chance to defeat them. And even the other nations understood that. And so that's something that we have to start to understand in this day and age. Because in the past, even the other nations understood that obeying the Most High is where success comes in for His children of Israel. So let's go to Revelation chapter 18 and verse 1. You know, and this includes, let me, before I start that, this also includes, you know, we just had the Olympics a few weeks ago, and everyone gets hyped up and, you know, all that because of the Olympics and all this national pride kind of thing. And, you know, we can read, one day we'll get to the Maccabees where it talks about when during the Maccabees time with the Romans that they were having Olympic Games. Because, of course, it started with the Greeks, and so through the Greek Empire and then into the Romans, they were having these Olympic Games, and it's all a distraction. It's all, let's entertain the people so they don't really realize how bad things really are. So let's go to Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And if you see, as we look out into the world today, we look out into the United States, and we see that it's definitely not what it used to be. See, that's why they talk about, let's make America great again. Well, if you look, if you break that down, they say, let's make America great again, then that means it's not great now. Well, and so they're trying to say that the reference is that it was great once before, and it's not great now, and so we have to get back to those glory days. We have to get back to the days when it was mighty and great. Well, the Most High says, you know, the angel came down and said, Babylon the Great is fallen, and it's become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit. And we see all the negativity, all the filth and the corruption that's out here in the way people dress, the way that people speak, the way that people interact with one another. That's, it says that every unclean and hateful bird, people are out here, they're unclean, they're filthy, their conduct is horrible. And the Most High covered all that, how he expected you to behave every day, how you were supposed to talk to people and interact with people, how you were supposed to carry yourself. All of that's covered. And here we find that it's a lot of filth and corruption is what it is, and that's become the norm. Why? Because Babylon the Great has fallen, and it's become the habitation of devils, deceivers. They deceive the people into thinking, oh, well, let's go out here to the convention and vote, because that's going to be our salvation. When we've now had, 48 presidents, and here, this is what we've got now. So in belief in that system, where has it gotten us? Because you can still, particularly if you're a minority, you could still be driving down the street to go get some gas in your car so that you can go to work and be shot to death, whether it's by somebody else driving down the street, whether it's by the police who are supposed to protect you. You just don't know what you're going to get. It's a mystery. It's fallen and become the habitation of devils, and the hold, the place of every foul spirit. So the place where the foul spirits, every type of foul spirit, roams this place. And that's why you have to be very watchful and very mindful. And that's why, and I know I repeat it over and over, and I told y'all that we're going to keep talking about this topic about turning off the radio and turning off the TV and turning off the morning programs on the radio and the podcast and, you know, shut off social media and meditate. Put on classes that will help you think about the Most High. Spend your time spend more time in prayer. Even if you're at a light, you come to the red light, and you know, oh, this is going to be a long light. It's going to be 2 minutes. So now I can spend the next minute and a half just sending up a quick prayer to the Most High. You see, people don't understand the power of that, because instead of spending that minute and a half of the 2 minute red light, instead of spending that listening to somebody talk about, I'm going to do this to your mama, and if your sister come over, I'm going to get her too, and then I'm going to do this to your auntie, and all this filth and garbage, turn that off and spend the next 90 seconds asking the Most High to help you through the day, asking the Most High to protect your brothers and your sisters, asking the Most High to give you guidance on how you can better serve Him, how you can increase your faith, how you can avoid being tricked by all of these foul spirits and unclean and hateful birds. Because they're all around. It's a habitation of all of this. Verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So all nations have partaken in her fornication. They've drunk of the wine. And it uses these terms because when it talks about wine, when you drink wine, you become intoxicated. See, now you're not in your right frame of mind, and your guard is down, and now you're likely to do things you normally wouldn't do. See, and that's where it talks about the wrath of the wine of her, the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And fornication is, you know, your filth, your uncleanness. That's this place, that's this, the uncleanness of this place. They argue these, they debate these topics of whether or not you can do all these different things that are all unclean according to the Most High. That are abomination to the Most High. And they make big topics about it. And it becomes these major topics, and they say, oh, it has to go to the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court can decide. Listen, first of all, by the name, Supreme Court. And they're supposed to be the ones to decide whether or not this can be, whether or not these companies have to tell us when they're using lab-made meats and how that's legal now. So now you can get meat that, you know, first of all, I remember when they cloned the first sheep and they made a clone. And so now they can get lab-based meat where it's not even an animal that's out in the field eating grass or hay or that you can actually go out and look out in the pasture and see the animal. No, this thing was completely made in a lab, completely. You know, they have fish farms, and I remember when they started doing fish farms where at least the fish farm was out in the ocean or was out in a lake. You could actually go to the lake or go to the ocean and see the eggs being born, and they were let into the water in nets, and you could see that. And now they have fish farms in an industrial area in a city that's hundreds of miles away from the ocean, that's miles away from the nearest lake. And these fish are being bred in these big giant tanks inside a warehouse. See, and that's why the Most High says, you have to come out of her, my people. Because Babylon the Great is fallen. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. See, now we talked about that last week, week before last, about how, because we were talking about Saul and how the king, whatever his mind state is, that's how he's going to rule the people. So the people are going to follow what the king does. That's only natural. He sets the tone. And so if all the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, then that's how they'll behave, so that's how their people will behave. And it's all abomination to the Most High. That's why we can't get wrapped up in all this stuff. Because that's not what the Most High told us to do. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. See, and the merchants, these big multinational corporations, have gotten very rich, very wealthy, and they just make up stuff to get wealthy off of. They make money off of people being sick. They make money off of people dying. They make money off of people's egos because, oh, I'm not pretty enough unless I wear all this makeup. So now I can make Revlon and Maybelline and MAC wealthy. I'm not cool if I don't have these shoes. And that's why Michael Jordan, they played basketball in over two decades. And almost it's been over 25 years since he played basketball, but he's still making hundreds of millions of dollars a year of the shoe. That's why. And Nike, they make even more than he does, because the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. Now listen at that. So if you're at a crossroads, if you're questioning yourself, you're thinking, well, can I, should I? The Most High is very clear. Come out of her, that you don't partake in her sins. Because these are outside of the laws, statutes, commandments, the guidelines of what the Most High wanted us to do, the way that he wanted us to conduct ourselves. It's very simple. We talk about, people say, well, God is the Heavenly Father. Okay, so your father said, this is the way that I want you to behave yourself. These are the things that I want you to do. These are the things I want you to avoid. Do this. Stay away from that. It's very simple. It's not a hard concept. People make it seem like it's this super mystical, just ooh. It's not that hard to understand. Eat this. Don't eat that. Do this. Don't do that. It's not hard. And that's even the times that I've started teaching these classes. Don't get caught up in how the words of the scriptures talk about when it's thou and forthwith and, you know, some of the words, you may not understand the definitions. Well, you know, we're at a point nowadays, you got Google. you can get a Bible dictionary, you can get a concordance, and you don't even have to have the physical book now. You can get all that stuff online. You can go on Google and type in the word, and it gives you definitions. So don't be overwhelmed because it's written in some old English type of form, and the way that they speak is a sort of, it's definitely different than what we speak nowadays. Don't let that overwhelm you. The point is, what message is being told to you? What message? And you can't listen to what the world tells you, because everyone, the thing is, when the time of judgment comes, the Most High is making this, and he said this very clearly, the whole earth is going to get judged. Now, how is that going to happen? Well, in order for the Most High to be fair, as we say, in order for him to be fair, he can't judge you if you don't know. In other words, I can't be mad at you if I didn't tell you, don't touch my hair. I can't get mad if you touch my hair. What I can do is I can tell you, please do not touch my hair. I don't want you touching my hair. Now, if you touch my hair and I become upset, you knew the rule. I told you. And that's how the Most High is. So everyone's going to know. Everyone has access. There is no one on the earth who doesn't have access to the information. Now, what they choose to do with the information is the important part. And that's why we're in Revelation 18 and 4. And it very clearly tells you, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. So that's what, it's not foreign language. It's pretty easy to understand that. Come out of it. Come out of these ways. Come out of this stuff. He didn't say it's not going to be around you. He didn't say that it wouldn't be presented to you. What he said was come out of it so that you don't partake in it. And so that's the process we have to go through. And it's not just one thing. I've used the example of the politics, these current voting, the national conventions and all this voting stuff. And I used the example of the Olympics. Those are just two things. I came across some folks a couple of days ago who were talking about, you know, oh, we're excited because football season's starting, and I can't wait because I've got my, you know, I got my the NFL season pass for my on cable, so I can watch all of my favorite team. I can watch them all season long. And then folks who talk about where I live, folks are big into college football, and so they go see all the home games of their favorite team, and they've got season passes. And see, all of that has that's not what the Most High is talking about. Just common sense. You have people starving, and yet we don't want to talk about starving. We want to go to a football game. We want to watch it. We want to be entertained. And that's all part of these foreign, all the kings of the earth and all the merchants. See, the kings and the merchants, the leaders and the businesses want you to do that because not only do they make money off of you buying tickets to the game, then we, you know, if you like the business of cable companies will sell you the season pass, the pass so you can watch the games on TV through your cable. So they're making money off you there. If you decide I'm going to get season tickets and go to the game, now you go out to the game, you got to pay for parking. You got, when you go in, you bought a ticket to the game, first of all, so they make money there. Then you pay for parking. They make money there. You go in and you say, well, I want, you know, I don't care. I got my kids. Let's get some sodas for them. Let's get a beer for me or a margarita, whatever, all of that. Let's get some food that you're making money off you, all of that. And in the meantime, you have completely turned your back on your fellow people, your fellow citizens who are starving, your fellow citizens who are homeless, your fellow citizens who have nothing. But you spent hundreds of dollars. The amount of money you spent in one season of going to these games could house somebody's family for a year. And that's the mindset. And why is it that mindset? Because this place in verse 2, 18 and 2, where he said, Babylon the Great is fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. It is hateful. It is hateful for me to be comfortable in my home and then my brother be homeless. That's what the Most High says. That's what the Spirit says. That's what truth says. How can you be comfortable and your sister is homeless or is starving? And especially when you have extra, because, you know, having the ability to get the season ticket on, which is hundreds of dollars to watch the games, or the hundreds, even thousands of dollars to go to all the games, and it's a game, and you have that, that's extra money. That's not money necessary to put to light your house or put a roof over your head. That's extra. And that's because this place is it's foul and hateful. And that's why the Most High says to come out of her, that you be not partakers of her sins. See, we have to focus. We have to stay focused on what the Most High wants us to do. And how do you stay focused? Well, part of staying focused is making sure our day is not just filled with the garbage on TV, the garbage on the radio, these social media, the garbage on social media, that we take the time to develop continue to develop our relationship with the Most High. Shutting off the TV and the radio and taking a few moments to acknowledge the Most High, taking a few moments to think about, okay, where am I? Yesterday, I did something and I really should have done better. I was driving down the street and that person cut me off and I got frustrated. So today, I've got to work on that. I have to get better at that. Every day, it's the only way you get to a destination, you have to take your first step. And then after that step, you take another step. And it's another step. And you just keep walking. You keep stepping toward the destination. And so the important part is to keep moving forward in that. But in order to move forward in it, you have to keep after it. You have to actively take part in that. You have to take control because this is your spirit you're dealing with. This is you and your spirit salvation. Revelation 18 and 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. And that ye receive not of her plagues. See, that's how to avoid what's going to go down. Verse 5, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. See, the Most High knows what's going down. He's fully aware. The Most High is on his own timeline. And we know through the scriptures that the Most High, one day to the Most High is 1,000 years to us. And so he's on his own timeline. We think in our own ego, in our own conceit, we get impatient and think the Most High, we want the Most High to hurry up. But the Most High doesn't work on our timeline. And we have to learn how to adjust our thinking to be, and that's part of the, that's why I always push to meditate, pray, think on the Most High, because that's what will guide us to get out of this perception that we've been taught in society where the world revolves around me. We have stopped thinking the world revolves around me and realize that I need to revolve around, my world needs to revolve around the Most High, because that's the reality of it. And you see it all the time out here. There's tons of videos where someone, you know, went somewhere and, you know, there's a lady who, she got some soup from a restaurant and the soup was hot and it was really, really hot. So what did she do? Now, of course, it's supposed to, it's hot soup. It's not cold soup that she ordered. It's hot soup. So she goes back to the restaurant and she's screaming and yelling at the staff, and then she throws the soup on the manager. You see, because the world, she was feeling like the world was supposed to revolve around her. And that's how people get mad, because the Subway sandwich, they put mustard on it and she only wanted mayonnaise. And so she throws it at the people. She gets mad and throws a temper tantrum. People throw temper tantrums all the time, to the point where we call them Karens. There's a name for it. And that's the idea, that concept that the world revolves around me. And see, we have to stop that and realize that our world needs to revolve around the Most High. And we do that by understanding his scriptures and meditating on them and prayer and our actions, our faith. That's why he says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. The Most High knows. The Most High sees it. He knows. He's got his time frame set up the way he wants it. And we might as well not waste our time questioning it. What we need to do is spend our energy trying to get ourselves cleaned up, trying to get our behavior in line with what the Most High wanted us in the first place, trying to get our faith lined up to where it needs to be. And it's a constant process. It's constant. But I just wanted to touch base, because all of these things, these are realistic things that we're faced with. These are realistic things where, you know, the whole NFL season is getting ready to start, and then pretty soon the NBA season, and, you know, I got to get home and watch the game. With all that enthusiasm, how much reading of the scriptures have you done? How much meditation, how much thought have we put into the Most High? So, you know, you put in a lot of effort in that fantasy football pool that you're in, that fantasy football league that you're participating in. But what about the real, the real Most High? How much time have you put into obeying him and developing your relationship with him? Because that fantasy football, I don't care if you win money, if you win it and you win all the money, that's not going to help you. What's going to help you is getting right with the Most High, and that's where you have to come out of her. So don't get caught up in all the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't get caught up in all this stuff. It's you know, oh, it's a big party. You know, I was watching the videos of the Democratic National Convention, and, you know, it's there at a big arena, and it's just the music's playing, and the people are cheering, and everybody's having a good time, and the balloons and all this stuff, and it's a big party, like it's a big, you know, big concert, and function. Okay, great. But that still don't help me put a mortgage, get the mortgage paid. That doesn't help me get the lights going. And so that's where we have to look. And it certainly doesn't help me get my mind and my spirit right with the Most High. So we have to have our priorities in the right place, because we now, if you didn't know these scriptures, if you didn't know, now you know. The Most High knows what's going on. He ain't missed a thing. He has not missed a thing, but he's working on his own timeline. And that's important that we are aware of that. Now, verse 6, Revelations 18 and 6, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. You see, so the plagues and the punishment that the angel speaking on that the angel is speaking on is not according to what we think, not according to what it appears, but according to what has been done, according to her works. Your works are your actions that you've taken. So reward her according to what she's done. Well, what has Babylon the Great done? That's what we have to look at. And I've mentioned a few things. Well, Babylon the Great has allowed some of their own people to starve to death. They have lied to the people. They have misguided the people. They have cheated the people. They have caused the people to commit filth. And in fact, we read about the nations have committed fornication with her. They've committed fornication. They've allowed devils and evil spirits to roam free. Everything goes. And that's just what it is nowadays. Everything goes. The Most High never said that. You cannot find, I don't care how many times you look at the scriptures, you can read the scriptures backwards if you want to. You still will not find a law where the Most High said, all right, Moses, tell them everything goes. Y'all do what you want. Do what makes you feel good, Moses. That is not what the Most High said. In fact, the Most High did say, Moses, step to the side. I'm going to kill all these people because they ain't listening, because they're hard-headed. That's what the Most High did say. And Moses stepped in. So, as they say, don't get it twisted. Don't have any misunderstanding. The Most High knows what's going on. And just because you may think that he doesn't seem to know what's going on, he does. He does. And he's going to come through and do what he does when he wants to, you know, at his time. So they're going to be doubled. Continuing on in verse 6, in the cup which he hath filled, fill to her double. Now, what does she put into the cup? Fornication. Filth, debauchery, crime, lies. And so the Most High said, well, the reward is going to be double. The penalty will be double what they've done. Verse 7, how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. Now you think about how much this place is, you know, about how it's the greatest kingdom, the greatest empire, the greatest nation on the earth, the greatest democracy on the earth, and how much wealth and how much of the natural resources of the earth that the country through the government and the country and even allowing the businesses, the multinational businesses and all these wealthy folks who are hooked, who are all linked in together, and making these big deals, and they toppled nations. They've taken down nations and empires, and they've stolen lands and killed people and pillaged and all that. How glorious and deliciously, how glorified and deliciously she's lived. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen. America's the greatest nation on earth. I sit a queen. And am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. See, God bless America. Are you kidding? After all the filth and corruption, all the stuff you're doing that's outside of what the Most High wants, and yet you have, yeah, in fact, just the ego, the gall, as they say, the gall to put on the money, God bless America. The Most High called that filthy lucre. Are you kidding? just to put in God we trust and God bless America on the money is an abomination. That action alone is an abomination. And so for all of this, the glory and deliciousness and the wealth, all these let the good times roll kind of attitude, the Most High is going to give them sorrow. Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. So the Most High has a plan, and the people have an opportunity to get right. And obviously they don't want to. But that's why the scripture says, come out of her and be not a partaker of her sins. And see, that's an important thing. When it says come out of her, it doesn't mean that you can just, oh, well, let me get on a plane and I'm going to move. I'm going to move to this other country. I'm going to go to this other land. Because remember, we read in verse 3 that all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. So you ain't going nowhere to get away from it. It may present itself in a way that seems different to you, but the whole world is participating. The whole world's part of it because they're followed along. So you ain't going to get away from it. So when it says come out of her, my people, it's not talking about you can just, well, let me just go to Canada. I'm going to go down to Jamaica. I'm going to move over to Germany. Let me go somewhere else. Maybe if I go to South Korea. Nah, you ain't going to get away from it. And he said, be not partakers of her sins. So that's the key. You have to get away from partaking in the filth and the fornication and all of the things that are against what the Most High has. And it's not just what the Most High stands for. See, people like to say that. The Christians like to use that term. Well, the Most High doesn't stand for this, or the Most High stands for that. It's not what the Most High stood for. We need to stand for what the Most High said. To the Most High, he said it. He gave the order. That was it. He ordained it. This is how it's supposed to be, period. And so we have to come out of that mentality. We have to stop partaking in it. We have to stop willingly giving ourselves our money, our bodies, our minds, our energy to the corruption of this place. That's what we need to work towards. You want to set some goals for yourself? Those are the goals to set for yourself. Is we have to stop bringing our minds and our bodies and our spirits, our energy. We have to stop giving it to this filth and this corruption and start putting it towards the righteous behavior that we're supposed to be doing. And when I say righteous, people automatically start thinking, oh, he's getting religious. No, it's not religious. Righteous just means proper, the right thing to do. The right thing to do. That's it. I keep saying it's not complicated. It's not that complex. It's very simple. What is righteousness? What's the root word of righteous? Right. Right being not the direction, not left or right, but right meaning correct. So righteousness is just the correct thing. So when the Most High says, be ye righteous, just do what's right. Do what's correct. And then you say, well, what is correct? Well, that's where you find it. The Most High gave us laws, statutes, commandments. And then after that, he gave us examples. That's what the rest of the scriptures is about. There's some prophecy in there of things to come, of things that have happened. But it's examples. That's what we're in Samuel. That's what we talk about with David and Saul. It's the examples of how they were putting the laws into practice, how they were living day by day. And we have examples of things that people did that were wrong, things that people did that were right. We have the example. That's why we went through Judges. That's why we went through Judges, so we could see what Judith and Gideon and Samson and Deborah, we went through them so we could get an example of, okay, the Most High gave them laws, gave them land. How did they behave themselves? Some did okay, some did great, some did poorly. And we kept talking about how the people kept, it would say, and Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord again. and again, Israel committed sin before the Most High. We kept reading all of that. See, at some point, we have to come out of that foolishness, out of that cycle. And this is the opportunity for each of us, myself included, each of us to come out of those cycles of weakness and lack of faith and strengthen each other, strengthen ourselves and strengthen each other so that we can be what the angel was saying about in Revelation 18 and come out of her. Because she's going to be utterly burned with fire when he decides to judge it. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Revelation 18 and 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her. They're going to cry for her and lament for her. They're going to mourn when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment. See, they're going to back up. They're going to be like, ooh, let me get back up off of that. Oh, it's all fun and games now because everybody's wealthy and we can just do whatever kind of debauchery and filth and fornication. It's all good. It feels good. It tastes good. It sounds good. The fancy seats on the plane and on the private jet and the fancy seats in the luxury car feel good under my booty. See, they can feel all that. And I'm pampered. I feel good. And I'm eating good tasting food and I'm doing all this stuff. But when all this stuff goes down, they're going to be like, oh, no, because the party's over. And they're going to stand afar off, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn for her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. See, this place, the nations of the earth get rich off of this place. They get rich off of us taking our money and getting wealthy off of it. And they're going to all be sad because it's going to be all over. But the point is we have to come out of it. We have to change our mindset. And changing your mindset, creating new habits, starts with one step first. So we've got to be taking that step, and then you take that step, take another step. But don't stop walking. Keep stepping. We have to keep moving forward. And that's the most important part, is to start and to keep moving, especially when you have those days when you're feeling down, you ain't feeling it, you're just like, oh, I'm tired, I didn't sleep well, or I'm not feeling good, I'm out of it. And, a lot of times people like to use the excuse, where them spirits are really pounding me, Ock. They're really getting to me, bruh. They messing with me, sis. Listen, they only messing with you because you let them. You got to keep stepping. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Keep stepping. Keep walking. You keep walking if it's a sunny day. You keep walking if it's a windy day. You keep walking if it's a rainy day. You keep walking if it's a snowy day, walking through the sand, walking through the mud, walking through the concrete, walking through the jungle, walking through the forest. It doesn't matter. Keep moving. That's the important part. Spiritually, keep moving. Be not partaker of her sins. Stop partaking. Get real with yourself. Yeah, that's the thing. We have to get real with ourselves. It's easy to talk to somebody else. Oh, yeah, I'm not doing this. And then you go home and you do it. But I'm not here to judge you on that. I can share with you what the Most High has shown me, what you need to do and what you don't need to do, what I need to do and what I don't need to do. I can share that with you. But it's up to you to go home and apply it. and to come out of this place, to come out of all the filth and the corruption. Come out of it. Now, we'll come back to Revelations one day. We're going to go from here. Let's head back to Samuel now. I just want to touch bases briefly. We're going to, there's more we can get into with that in one of these days real soon. We definitely will. But I just want to touch bases on that as I saw these things about the convention, and I just said, you know what, these people getting hyped up, you know, oh, it's going to be the first female president, the first, you know, female black president, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine, but it's still the same place, and the person sitting in that office is going to uphold the laws of the same. It's the same thing. It's just a different face in the seat. It's not about who's sitting at the place. It's not about who's in the position. It's about the laws they're upholding. So don't be fooled by all that. They can get all these, they can get folks to go up there and rap and sing songs and the music and get a DJ all they want. That doesn't, not one of them up there said, okay, we need to stop this and we need to get righteous. Nobody stood for that. And that's the important part. That's why it says, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins. So they can talk all they want about, you know, who I'm going to vote for, but who's voting for Christ? Who's voting for the Most High? And that's the important part. And how do you do that? By coming out of her and by not partaking in the fornication, in the debauchery, in the filth and the corruption. That's how. And by working towards following what the Most High said we're supposed to do in the first place. And applying that to our lives. Now we're going to the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to start in chapter 27. Let's see. 1 Samuel. And we will probably finish 1 Samuel tonight, today. Yeah, we should be able to get through it today. So continuing on with David and Samuel. And you know what? In fact, using them as an example, and we spoke on this before, last week, week before last, how when Saul was supposed to wait on Samuel because they were going to go up against the Philistines, the Philistine army, and Samuel said, go down here to the city and wait for me, or wait outside the city, wait for me. I'll be there in 7 days. You just wait for me. And Saul went ahead and became impatient because it was coming down on the end of that last day and the sun was starting to set. So Saul said, let's do a burnt offering. But Samuel had told him he was going to lead the offering. So Saul was supposed to wait for Samuel and the priests, the prophets, to get down there. And he didn't. And when Samuel showed up, he was displeased, and he said, the Most High is, for, you know, taking you down from being king because he's looking for a man after his own heart. See, that's what the Most High is looking for. Who's going to do the things the way I want them done? Who's got that in their heart? Who's got that? Who's going to do what I want it to be done? And so that's what the Most High is looking for. The Most High is not looking for who's got the most votes. The Most High is not looking for who has the biggest campaign fund. The Most High is not looking for who won the most gold medals. The Most High is looking for those that have not partaken in those sins, that has walked away from, has avoided the fornication, the filth, the debauchery, the lies, the cheating, the stealing, the lying, the manipulating. The Most High wants those that are going to do things because he said, this is how you do stuff. It's really not a lot. He said, this is how you do things. Moses, give it to them. He said, just do them. But we make it so hard that it's like this impossible thing to do when it's just read. It says, okay, this is what you do on this day. This is what you do on this day. This is what you eat. This is how you're supposed to eat it. And we can't even follow that. So we have to come out of her and be not a partaker of her sins. 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. So Saul has been chasing David. We know that. And there have been several occasions, well, two occasions where Saul was asleep. Once he was in the cave, and then once, which we just read last week in chapter 26, he was in sort of in a valley, and he was laying down in a ditch. And on both occasions, the first one, when Saul was in the cave, David went and cut a piece off of his robes. He cut a section of cloth from his robes to prove that, hey, if I wanted to, Saul, I could have killed you. I was right up on you, and you had no idea. And then the second time, he took his spear and his water container. And so, but Saul keeps chasing David. And so David's like, man, one of these days, Saul's going to catch up to me. He says, so I need to go down into the land of the Philistines. And eventually Saul will get sick of looking for me because I'm not going to be where he can find me. And he'll leave me alone. Because you have to remember that at this point, it's not just David by himself or with his band of men. He had all, you know, his parents were down there with the Philistines. His parents and many others who were downtrodden and were looking for some kind of guidance and leadership to follow. They went down to David as well. So he said, basically in verse 1, he said, if I go down to the Philistines, I'll be able to escape away from, get out of Saul's hands. I'll be able to avoid him. Chapter 27, verse 2. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maach, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, and Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled into Gath, and he sought no more again for him. See, and that's because Saul couldn't beat the Philistines. Philistines were too powerful, and so he knew, well, I can't go get him because he's down there with the Philistines in the city of Gath. Verse 5, and David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the world city with thee? So David was like, listen, if I found any kind of grace, please give me a place, give me a plot of land so that I'm not here in the rural city with you. I can go dwell over there. Now, keep in mind that he was able to go down there to stay with this Philistine because they knew each other. You have to remember that David was a general. Saul had made David a general, and he had a reputation, a very strong reputation. He was a good general, and the other nations knew of David. He made a reputation for himself, and so they knew. And so when he went down and asked for a place to stay, they received him in the city of Gath and said, okay, come on in. And so David was like, well, give me some land. Verse 6, then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a year and 4 months. So he gave him this area. The king gave him an area of Ziklag to live and his men to live and to function. And David and his men went up and invaded the Gezerites and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, and the oxen, and the asses, and the camels, and the apparel, and returned, and came to Achish. And Achish said, Whither have ye made a road to today? Whither have ye made a road today? And David said, Against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, So did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelt in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever. So this is what happened. Okay. David went out, he and his men, they went out and they killed the Amalekites, the Geshurites, and the Gezrites. And, but when he came and he killed, now listen, this is the thing. He killed men and women. He killed all of them. See, so all these people who say, oh, well, you know, the Most High is not about killing. Well, King David, whom the Most High said was a man after his own heart, killed the men and the women. And some of these areas were Philistine-run areas. And he took their sheep and their ox and their cattle and the camels, their apparel, the clothing. And keep in mind, when it says the apparel, their outfits, all their clothing. And so why would he take their clothing? Because their clothing that they had was very royal and regal. Okay. he wasn't taking their old raggedy, ripped up jeans, their biker shorts. He wasn't taking no raggedy clothes. The apparel they had, plus some of them had, they had wool and stuff that was ready to be used. He took all of that stuff. Okay. He took all of it because it was all high quality stuff. And he returned. So when Achish saw him and he said to David, well, where are you coming from? David lied and said, he wasn't going to tell him. We went to go get the Amalekites and the Philistines, because that would make the king nervous about, oh, David's going to be wild. He's going to be out here killing my people behind my back. So David said, well, I went up against Israel. And, you know, I stole this stuff. I took it from them. I killed people. And so the king believed David. And in the king's mind, he said, oh, yeah, he's doing stuff. His people are going to hate him forever. And so he'll always be my servant. He'll always be here in my land, and he'll always owe me a favor. Chapter 28, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. So Achish said to David, listen, we're going up against Israel. You better know for a fact you're going to come with us. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know that what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. So David said, you know what I'm capable of. You know what I'm going to do. You know, I'm your servant. And Achish said, yeah, I believe it. And that's why I'm going to make you my head, basically my chief assistant. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. So Saul had, now Samuel died. They buried him in his hometown of Ramah, and they mourned him. And Saul had basically, he had killed and removed all the people who were wizards and witches, what do they call it, the fortune tellers, all that kind of stuff. He got rid of them folks because the Most High says you're not supposed to deal with that. The Most High said you're supposed to get rid of all of them. verse 4. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. See, now, if his faith was right, he wouldn't be afraid, and he wouldn't be trembling if he had his faith right. Because the Most High said, we ain't supposed to be afraid of that. That's nothing to him. Verse 6, Samuel 28 and 6. 1 Samuel 28 and 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophet, nor by prophets. So Saul was asking the Most High what he should do, and the Most High was not answering him. Now, what happens when the Most High don't answer you? Well, you got to do something, right? Well, let's see what Saul did. Verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went out. He went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. Now, first of all, I'm not supposed to be messing with them folks. The Most High gave that to us in the laws. You're not supposed to, in fact, the law says you're not supposed to suffer a witch to live. You're supposed to get rid of the wizards, the witches, the shaman, the fortune tellers, all of that. So, but now he got rid of all of them. But now, because the Most High didn't answer him, he wants to find one of them. You see, these are the examples that I was talking about when we were reading Revelations earlier. I said the Most High gave us plenty of examples. This is one. Now, this is an example of what you're not supposed to do, how you are not supposed to act. And this is also an example of why Saul was unsuccessful. Why was it that he went to go see this woman, someone he clearly is not supposed to be seeing? Because if it was okay for him to see her, number one, he wouldn't disguise himself. That's number one. Number two, he wouldn't have gotten rid of all the others out of the land. But he knew he wasn't supposed to be going to see her, so he got rid of all. He wasn't supposed to be seeing them folks. They're supposed to be gone. He got rid of all of them. Then he's trying to find her. Why does he want to find her? Because of his impatience. It's another example of Saul being lacking faith and being impatient. Why? Well, he sees the other armies. Now he's nervous. He's afraid. It said that he was afraid. He trembled. Why was he afraid? He lacked faith. The Most High said he was going to be with him. You see how this works? This is right here, very clear. It's not complicated. Sometimes you may not see it. Others see it. There are things that I talk to brothers and they'll see in the scripture I don't see, but it's not hard. It's not rocket science. Saul was over an army. The Most High anointed Saul to be the king. So the Most High said, I choose you. And he said, follow me, obey my commandments, and you'll be successful. That should have been enough. If Saul's spirit was right, he would have locked into that. But Saul's spirit wasn't right, because Saul wasn't working towards it. You see, remember, I said a few minutes ago, I talked about you got to set a goal. It starts with one step. It starts with one step. I don't expect you to have the absolute most perfect faith in the Most High. We doubt, confusion. We've been raised in a place full of doubt and confusion, anxiety, depression, frustration, anger, all, anger management issues, all these different things that have been a part of our lives for as long as we've lived. But now's the time to start working on eliminating that stuff. But it's not going to just go away. Your faith won't increase if you're not applying it. Your frustration won't decrease if you don't work on it. You have to face these things in the proper manner and step through them. Deal with them. And it's a work, but you have to be taking the steps. That's why I was saying about one step after another. Set the goal. My goal is to work on my impatience. So now I have to work on it, which means I have to apply patience when I need to apply patience. My goal is to work on my anxiety. You got to work on it. And that's what Saul was not working on it. He just kept moving. And when he had opportunity to, instead of taking the time to meditate and pray to the Most High about, you know, he didn't get his answer. He asked. He didn't get his answers. And so then he's like, well, okay, instead of being patient, instead of locking in and having faith, he said, I'm going to go see this witch. So now I'm going to go commit a sin because I lack faith and I got scared and I'm doubting what the Most High will do for us. So let me now, not only do I lack the faith and I lack and I'm insecure, but now I'm going to go ahead and commit a complete sin. Like that's going to make anything better. That's why I talk about turning off the radio and turning off the TV so that you can meditate and think on the Most High and apply the scriptures and think on the scriptures. I'm not talking about where, okay, for the next 15 hours, I'm going to sit in this room and I'm going to put on a gong and the gong music and gong, you know, playing music like that or some spa music so that I can just meditate on the Most High and I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to slow my breathing to 2 beats per minute. And it's going to make me the great fancy guru, and I'll have this spiritual interaction, and the angels will come through the ceiling and swirl around me. I'm not talking about all that. I'm talking about turn off that garbage where all they're talking about is some filth and fornication, and it's all nasty, or it's violent and murdering people. Turn that off for 5 minutes and pray to the Most High and ask Him to help you have more faith. It's simple. Let's start there. Why and why? Because we need to mature. We are adults. If you're not an adult, you're going to be growing into an adult. And so we need to start behaving like that. We need to start behaving like that spiritually. We have to take accountability of our actions and our inactions. We have to accept, we have to accept things about ourselves. The Most High said He'd be here to help us. We lose sight of that. We kept leaning on our own understanding. That's what Saul just did. He's leaning on his own understanding. He looks up. He's got the Most High's army. The Most High had Samuel anoint him personally. He had Samuel anoint him personally. I feel blessed just being able to read about Samuel. I can't imagine Samuel bringing some oil and pouring oil on my head and anointing me. And yet, and the Most High, He had Samuel anoint him king and said He'd be with him, but he had to follow what the Most High wanted. Follow the Most High. And Saul couldn't do it. Why couldn't Saul do it? Because Saul did not work on his spiritual maturity. He lacked faith. Once he lacked the faith, once he looked out and saw the armies of the Philistines, he was overwhelmed, and he asked the Most High, and the Most High didn't come to him in the time frame Saul wanted, which is what we talked about a few minutes ago. The Most High works on his own time frame. Saul saw that he wasn't getting an answer. And so instead of either waiting longer for the answer and the guidance, at the very least, working on his faith, asking forgiveness for his lack of faith. He didn't want to do that. What did he want to do? Well, of course, let me go find a witch that I'm not supposed to be dealing with. And not only did he, but if you notice, he asked his servants, hey, man, now he's the leader. And again, that goes back to what I was talking about, is how the king conducts himself. He sets the tone. So now the servants are like, oh, yeah, this, even though he went out and got rid of all these other wizards and witches and all these other folks out of the land, there's still some left, and the king wants us to do that, to get them. So it's okay for us to deal with them. So next thing you know, the king, who's trying to deal with this witch, has his servants who found her so they can deal with her. Now the servants start talking to other servants. Next thing you know, there's witches all through the land, and people are going over to find them and get answers and have questions and want to interact with them. So it did him no good to get rid of those witches and wizards. See how it's a cycle. It's a cycle. And if we don't slow down, and that's why I say, God, turn off the radio and turn off the TV, because that stuff is all part of the sins and the fornication that Revelation 18 is talking about. That's all you're going to find on there. And so we got to turn all that stuff off so that we can hear what the Most High is saying. Because that's life. All the rest of this stuff is death and confusion, and it's all the abomination that we read about in Revelation 18. So we've got to get to what the Most High is talking about, because that's where the life is. That's where the cleanliness is. That's where the righteousness is. Remember, righteous, right. This is where correctness is. This is where correct behavior is found. So we're with Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 28. And he goes in, and he knows he's wrong going into this witch in the area of Endor, because he's hiding himself. Okay, we'll read that again. Verse 8. 1 Samuel 28:8, and Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. So he took off his royal clothes and put on other clothes. So he was incognito. He was in disguise. And he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. So now he's creeping around at night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? See, when it said he cut them off, he killed them. And so she's like, listen, dude. Now remember, he's in disguise. He's not dressed. He put on disguise. He's not dressed like Saul. So she's like, look, dude, you know what Saul did to all the other folks? Now, why are you going to try and trap me? You try to lay a trap to get me killed. Verse 10, and Saul swore to her by the Lord. He said, I swear to God is what he said. He said, he swore to her by the Lord. So you see, Saul, and you know you're not supposed to do that. So Saul is just adding sin to sin. His heart is not with the Most High. And these are the examples, just by the way he's moving and operating. He's not even supposed to be, this woman's supposed to be dead. Once he found out she existed, he wasn't supposed to ask about her in the first place, trying to hunt her down. The whole move was wrong. The whole move was improper. And that's what we have to look at, is that, that's why I said we have to stop and meditate so that we understand how to operate, because we get out here and you have to go somewhere. It can be whether you're going to work, whether you're going to you're going out to go see your family. You could be going to the grocery store to pick up some onions for dinner tonight. But wherever you're going to get gas. You're out and about. You're going to pay a bill. But you get out here, and stuff happens so fast. Things be happening and moving. If you don't know how to operate, and you get to doing what you think you're supposed to be doing, or what according to your mind and what you've been thinking, but if all you've been looking at and all you've been listening to is this garbage on the podcast or that song or that TV show? Because all that stuff, what are they talking about? Sports podcasts, they're talking about sports. Or some kind of TMZ or whatever, are they talking about who's dating who? And Beyonce and Jay-Z did this and said that. And Oprah Winfrey, this and that. And was it Meghan Markle and Harry and Prince Harry, this and that? How is that going to help you when you're out here trying to maneuver and do right and be righteous, make the correct moves? Meghan and Harry, knowing about what Meghan and Harry did last week ain't going to help you. What so-and-so said in this song, that's not going to help you. That's why you have to turn that stuff off and understand Saul, what he was doing was not helping his spirit. It was taking him further and further away from the Most High because he was not making the right moves at all. If he had just taken 2 minutes to say, okay, instead of looking for another witch, let me recenter myself. Let me back up off this. Now, I'm in a situation the Most High has not answered me. So what do I need to do? He didn't take time to think about that. He was impulsive, and he just made this move. And we can't be impulsive and just be making moves. We need to know what we need to do because your spiritual life and spiritual death lie on that. Now, we're in 1 Samuel 28 and verse 10. And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. So now, and again, he's now, well, the scripture talks about being afraid, be not afraid to add sin unto sin, because now he's got fear. He shouldn't have the fear with his army against the Philistines. Then he's seeking out a witch, someone with a familiar spirit, which he's not supposed to be doing. Then he's telling her to not only does he seek her out, he goes to see her, which is even worse, adding another one on it. Then when he's there, he wants her to conjure up a particular spirit. Then on top of that, he swears to her on the Most High. You know, the people out here talk about, I put that on my mama. He's putting it on the Most High that nothing's going to happen. He ain't powerful enough to stop what's going to happen to him. He sure as heck can't speak on what the Most High is going to do to her. Verse 11. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. So he wants her to summon Samuel, the spirit of Samuel. Verse 12. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. So she summoned the spirit. She cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. Once she summoned Samuel, the spirit of Samuel, then she saw that it was Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me. Answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. See, he said, the Philistines make war, and the Most High is not answering, and so I'm calling you. See, he's adding sin unto sin. Because of his impatience, he's now sitting here with a witch that he lied to, that he swore on the Most High for. It's just this whole thing. I mean, we're reading, it's not even half a chapter. And in that, he's done so much wrong in just a few minutes that it's not funny. And it's no wonder Well, fool, why do you think the Most High answered you? You are completely out of pocket. And that's where we find ourselves when we don't take the time to stop and slow down and meditate so we can apply and understand and be able to apply what the Most High has told us to do. Then in just a few minutes, we have gone completely outside of what the Most High wanted. And he's standing here. Now he's talking to the spirit of Samuel, which he had no business conjuring up. And he's acting like, well, I was so desperate that I had to do this. See, that's impatience. That's why it's so important. When I first started these classes up a couple months ago, I said, we got to work on our patience, work on our ego. Because Saul, things are not going the way Saul wants them to, and so he's too impatient, and he's trying to force it. He's going to make it be the way he wants it to be. He's going to make the Most High answer him. That's what he's trying to do. He's like, well, if the Most High ain't coming in dreams, in the prophets, in the Urim, he's not coming at all, I'm going to go see a witch. I'm going to offend the Most High, break his law, so I can find out what he wants me to do. The first thing Most High wanted you to do was have the faith. The next thing was to not mess with no witch. And he certainly don't want you summoning, if all the witches and wizards and people who are familiar spirit, if they're supposed to be put to death, it's very obvious the Most High does not want you summoning spirits. See, all of this in less than half a chapter. It's like half a chapter of one book. It's just going all kind of crazy. And that's what we have to look at and say, okay, wait a minute. I need to slow down. I need to stop being so impatient. Because all this happened because Saul lacked faith and he was impatient. So here we are. And so you have to look at, make sure that you are working on your patience. Because you lack patience, next thing you know, you go in and tell your boss this, that, and the third, or you'll be somewhere and you'll tell the officer this, that, and the third. You have no job, you done lost your kids, you lost custody of your kids because CPS is involved, you locked up in jail for the weekend. All kinds of stuff can go down. You done said something to somebody and now they done knocked you out, you're laid up all on the ground out in the parking lot of the grocery store because you was talking stuff. I mean, it's all worse. And so we have to work on our patience. We have to stop. We have to really, it's so important. It really is. And see, Saul didn't see it. That's why, and that's the thing is, it's very easy to not see it because you get caught up in your ego and it just happens. It's one thing after another, after another, after another. And Saul didn't realize the ramifications of this. And he says, how in the world can you not? The law says, kill the witches and the people who have familiar spirits and the wizards. And he even did it. So that's the fact that we know. In verse 3, it talked about Saul put them away, meaning he killed them out of the land. And then he had asked his servants to go find one, to go search one. And then he put on a disguise. He knew. He wasn't supposed to be down there messing with them. But he still justified, because that's his ego. He done summoned Samuel, knowing he ain't got no business even doing that. But because of his ego, he actually justified himself in saying to Saul, and saying to Samuel, the Most High is not answering me, Samuel. So I came down here and had your spirit summoned, which is against the law, to get the Most High to talk to me. Well, if he wasn't going to talk to you before, he sure as heck ain't talking to you now. And that's the problem. We get into these situations, and then it's like, well, the Most High ain't answered me. Well, of course he ain't answered you. Look at what you've done. It's like this trail of destruction behind you. Have you not seen what you've done? Look behind you. And you've left this trail of destruction, this trail of filth and corruption and bad moves and poor decisions. And then you're wondering why the Most High ain't answered you. That's why I say turn off this garbage that's not helping your spirit, that's not helping you mature spiritually, that's not adding to your life, that's draining your life, draining your spirit, that's bringing you into the fornication and the filth of these hate, remember, it's hateful birds, the unclean spirits, devils. That's who's bringing this stuff, presenting this stuff to you. So you can't trust that. And so sometimes you got to turn that off to get into what the Most High is trying to show you and how you're supposed to behave. Because the way that you were made, he called you to this. He created you for this. And so we have to stop just all this other stuff and think and meditate and apply what the Most High has given us. Because this is righteous. Remember, right, correct. 1 Samuel 28 and verse 16. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me? He said, well, why are you asking me? Seeing the Lord has departed from thee and become thine enemy. So the spirit of Samuel said, well, why are you asking me? Because the Most High, obviously the Most High ain't talking with you. He left you. And he become your enemy. Listen at that. Verse 17. And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Now, we already read that before when he had him at, I think it was Gerathjearim, or there was another city where, and that was where Saul had done the burnt offerings when he wasn't supposed to. He didn't wait for Samuel, and Samuel showed up, and he had already done the burnt offerings, and Samuel was upset, and Samuel told him, the Most High has departed from you, and he's going to anoint another to be king because your heart is not right with the Most High. So now the spirit of Samuel is just telling him, listen, the Most High is just doing to you what he said. He's already taken the kingdom from you and given it to David. Verse 18, because thou obeyedest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. See, so the Most High was upset because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. The Most High told him what to do. He didn't do it. Okay? The Most High told him what to do, and he did not do it. Now listen to that carefully. The Most High told you what to do. The Most High is telling us what to do. Now, if we don't want to do it, you see what happened to Saul. When we were in Revelations just about an hour ago or so, I made a comment about how the Most High gave us the laws, and then he gave us examples. This is an example. I also have said many times, these are not hard concepts. This is not hard to understand. Samuel is explaining it very clearly. And yes, we have words. Again, they're words that are, you know, executist, obeyist. Okay, we don't use words like that, but we understand it's obey. You did not obey. Because thou obeyedest not the voice of the Lord. Okay, because you didn't obey the voice of the Most High. It's not hard. We can get this. Saul, you didn't listen to what the Most High told you, and you didn't execute. You didn't do what the Most High. You didn't listen, and you didn't do. It can't get any more simple than that. And so the example of what not to do, because it said that the Most High became Samuel, told him, the spirit of Samuel told him that Most High became your enemy. So if you don't listen, you don't obey, and you don't do what the Most High tells you, he becomes your enemy. So if you want to be a friend to the Most High, you want the Most High to be your friend, you obey and you execute, you do what he tells you, what he expects. Now, how do you do that? Well, first of all, you got to know what he expects. Then when you know what he expects, you got to think about it. You have to put it in your mind. You have to constantly remind yourself. Why? Because you know what happens? This place has learned. If they constantly keep putting something on you, that's where you'll start to accept it. You start to get it. For example, you listen to the radio, and the radio station plays the 10, 20 songs, the top 20 songs all day long. And that song you hate, we've all been here before. There's a song, oh, I can't stand that song. But you hear it so much, next thing you know, you're and you're humming it. And you're like, ah, I can't stand that song. But they know if they play it enough. You know, they put on the commercial, and the commercials have these jingles. And you just, you next thing you know, you're singing the commercial. You know exactly what commercial that is. That's just training. It's training you. And that's what happens. So if that's what happens with all the negative stuff, and they're just trying to take your money and make you do evil, negative things, we can do the same with the Most High's word. We repeat it. We play it over in our minds. Because remember, that the Most High's word is righteous. The root, right, correct. So the correctness, the correct way to behave, the correct way to think, the correct way to just be is in the word. Then we need to constantly have the word in us as often as possible. Obviously, Saul did not apply that. 1 Samuel chapter 28:18. Let's read that again. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. And the woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled and said unto him, Behold, thine handmaiden hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in thine hand, thou have put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto thy words which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. So she came and said, look, you haven't had nothing to eat. You're weak because you've been fasting all day. He hadn't eaten all day. And so she said, you need something to eat. Let me give you some food so that you have at least enough strength to get up. But he refused and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour, and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night. 1 Samuel chapter 29 and verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. So the Philistines, they were going by, they were the different lords of the Philistines had different number of men in their armies. They were going by the hundreds and thousands, but David made sure that Achish made him come out there. And David said, you know what I can do? We read that. And Achish said, well, you're going to be in charge of my head. So basically, you're going to be with me. That's why I said he was like his servant or his guard, his top guard, his top general. So David was lucky enough, he and his men were in the back. So they weren't up at the front. They were off in the back. verse 3, chapter 29, verse 3, 1 Samuel. Then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews hear? And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years? And I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day. So the princes of the Philistines saw David and said, what's this Hebrew doing over here? Because they're about to go to war with the Hebrews. So they're like, what in the world is this Israelite over here doing? And Achish spoke up for him. He said, listen, you know this is David, the servant of Saul, but he's been with me for over a year now. He's been with me for some time, and he has not done anything wrong since I found him. Now, he don't know that David, because David lied to him about where he went to go kill them folks. But verse 4, and the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. So they were angry with Achish. And the princes of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place, which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle. So they were saying, make him go back to that plot of land, the area that you gave him. Make him go back there. We don't want him coming down here to go to battle with us, lest in the battle he be an adversary to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his masters? Should it not be with the heads of these men? So they were, and actually that's a very wise comment that the Philistines, the other princes said. They were like, look, he's with you, but we don't trust him. So you make him go back to that land. You gave him a plot of land. Make him and his men go to the plot of land, because otherwise we go down here and we're fighting with the Israelites. And then all of a sudden he decides to switch sides, and he comes and kills us from behind, and he switches sides, and we don't trust that. So you go ahead and send him back to his master. I mean, back to his land. Verse 5. Is not this David of whom they sang to one another in dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands and David his 10,000? And Achish called David and said unto him, surely, as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright in, and thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight. So he called David and said, listen, you're good with me. Everything you've done has been, you're a straight up dude with me. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. So he said, look, you've been good with me. I've never had a problem with you. But the other princes of my people, the other Philistine princes and lords, they ain't down with you. They don't trust you. Verse 7. Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines. So he said, listen, go in peace, go back to your land, so that you don't piss off these other Philistine princes. And David said unto Achish, but what have I done? And what hast thou found in thy servant so long as I have been with thee unto this day, that I may not go fight against the enemies of my lord the king? So David is playing this one. Maybe he should be nominated for an Oscar on this one, because he said, what have I done? And, you know, what problems have you found in me that I shouldn't go out there and fight with you and fight by your side? And Achish answered and said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. So Achish was like, look, you're good with me, but these other dudes, they don't want you coming. Wherefore now, rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee. And as soon as ye are up, as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart. So he said, look, first thing in the morning, as soon as the sun comes up, you head out. So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. So you see, that's how the Most High got David out of having to have this conflict, because obviously he wasn't going to fight against his own people. But he had a situation that he was stuck with the Philistines, and how was he going to play this out? Well, the Most High came through for him. So now he's not fighting against his own people, and he's clear. He's in the clear. 1 Samuel. Chapter 30, verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Now remember, this was Ziklag, was the city that David and his men were given from the Philistine prince. So the Amalekites came, and it says they'd taken the women captives. So the women, they didn't, and it said they slew not any. So they took their women, their wives captives. They took the kids, and they carried them away. But they burnt the city. So David and his men, verse 3, came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, see, this is where it shows you how our people were off. So the people were so upset, they were blaming it on David. And they were talking about killing him. And so that's where the Most High, where David said, I'm going to strengthen myself in the Most High. Because now the people are mumbling about killing David. And it wasn't his fault that the Amalekites came. Verse 7. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I purpose after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. So they were so tired, 200 of them were so tired, they just couldn't go any further. Because remember, they had started off early in the morning. They left the Philistine camp, the army, and they went back to their city. That's when they found all the people were gone. So they had already done a long march. And then they're marching further, and that march further, they were really rushing to try and catch them, to catch the Amalekites. Verse 11, and they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? Who are you with? And whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago, 3 days agone, I fell sick. So he said, I got sick 3 days ago, and my master, this Amalekite, left me. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? So David said, can you bring me to them? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to the company, to this company. So the Egyptian was like, listen, I'll take you there, but you got to swear you ain't going to give me back to my master. You also got to promise you ain't going to kill me. Verse 16, and when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. So they were down there partying. They thought they were safe. And David smote them from the twilight even until the evening of the second of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. So David and his men got there, as said, from twilight. Okay, so they had gone down there all night, and they had started killing them from late, early in the morning until night. Spent all day just killing them. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that had taken to them, that they had taken to them. David recovered all. So they had recovered, they got everything back. And David took all the flocks and the herds, which they drave before those other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, say to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." So the 400, so they come back. Remember, David took 400. 200 of the men were too tired to carry on, so they were down there by the river, by the creek. David and his men have saved all the children, all the wives. They've gotten all the cattle and everything back. They're coming back. They see the 200 men. And there were men amongst the 400 who were wicked, the wicked men. They were dudes that were not 100% in the faith of the Most High. And they said, "These dudes didn't even come down to help us kill off these Amalekites, so we're not going to give them none of the spoils. We're going to give them their children and their wives, and that's all they get." Verse 23, "Then said David, 'Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company and came against us into our hand, or that came against us into our hand.'" So David said, "We ain't going to do no such thing. We're going to give of what the Most High gave us, because it's the Most High who helped us and guided us and delivered them to us." Verse 24, "For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, and they shall part alike." So he's saying, we're going to give an equal share to everybody. Whoever went down to the battle, their portion is going to be the same as the people who stayed back here. Verse 25, "And it shall be so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day." So David was being fair. He ordained equity. "And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoils to the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, 'Behold, a present for you of the spoils of the enemies of the Lord, to them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in South Ramoth, and to them which were in Jatir, and to them which were in Aor, and them which were in Siphmoth, and to them that were in Eshtemoah, and to them that were in Rechal, and to them that were in the cities of Jeramelites, and to them which were in the city of the Kenites, and to them which were in Hormah, and to them which were in Torashan, and to them which were in Athak, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men wont to haunt." So basically, David went and made sure he sent out, because they took a lot of stuff, so they got a lot. So he and his men all got equal portions, and then he sent to the elders of all those cities that I just named in order that they might get a portion as well and share in the blessing of returning all the goods that were brought back from the Amalekites. So with that, we're going to end today because we only have a few minutes left anyway. I hope we've gotten some insight, and I hope it helps everybody. May you all have a good week. Remember, take some time, turn off all that noise, meditate, pray, read, and be strong for the next week. And we will, most high willing, we'll be here next week. May you all have a good week. Peace and shalom.